We begin the current daf Masechet Ksubas daf Mem. We begin 9 lines down for the Abba the Amid, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. And this continues in the theme of the previous Mishnahs, discussing the difference between the halachas of Oynis and Mefata, although there are similarities between the man either seducing or violating, but there are differences, as many Gemaras have from the Vilna Gaon, where he says that the reason why this Mishnah is here is because there's another difference, as we illustrated in the previous Mishnah, between Einis and Mefata, that there's a difference in their halachas. So the Mishnah says, Yisayimah, regarding a woman that's an orphan, Shenis Arsa B'nis Garsha, that she had already once been engaged and then gotten divorced. So Rabbi Elazar Omer, he says, in such a situation, Ha'Einis Chayiv, if a man violates such a woman, he's liable for the Knas. But a man that seduces such a woman is going to be exempt from that knas. Now, the reason is because since she's a yesayimah, she's an orphan, so the father doesn't get the knas because she has no father. So the knas, 50 kesef, goes to her. Now, a woman that's being seduced, she's obviously being appeased to engage in this act, so she's meichel, she's forgiving for it, she wants to engage. Now, therefore, he's going to be exempt because it's something she willingly engaged in. Now, the Gemara actually will explain that Yisayma is independent from Shenis Arsa V'Nis Garsha. That this, that she got engaged in a divorce, is a different halacha, and it's not going on the case of Yisayma. It's actually two independent cases. There's a case of when she's an orphan. Just by being an orphan will make the Einis being Chayiv to her, because that was against her will, but again, it goes to her, not to her father. And when she's seduced, then she's willingly engaging, therefore he'll be exempt. And then there's another case of Nisas of Niskarsha, where just by being engaged and being divorced, the same halacha will apply, that by Mefuta shall be exempt. First, the Gemara explains, he says that Rabbi Elazar, who he's the opinion mentioned in our Mishnah, is Beshitas Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Amra. He's going in the opinion that his Rebbe Rabbi Kiva says, Dama, where Rabbi Kiva himself was recorded on the Mishnah Daf Lamechesem and Aleph, he spoke about this same case of a Nara, not necessarily Yisayma, as we're going to explain, this actually two different cases, but regarding the second case of our Mishnah, he speaks about a Nara that was engaged and got divorced, that he says, Yesh lo Knas, so when there is an Einis, she has a Knas, Uknasa la'atzma, and the Knas, however, goes to herself. Now, therefore, what the Gemara is explaining is that the case of Belazar in our Mishnah, of Nisarsav Nisgarsha of Belazar, is actually also talking about not when she's Yisayma, but rather when her father's alive. Now, so why do we call her Yisayma? Is because it's illustrating that she has the halacha like Yisayma, which means to say that her father has no more rights over her regarding the knas. And therefore, again, the oinus will go to her. And if it's mefuta, where she's forgiving for it, then the mefata will not be chayiv any. So the Gemara has mimai. The Gemara has, where do you see from our Mishnah that Rabbi Elazar is going like Rabbi Kiva? So the Gemara explains, because medigtani Yisayma, from the fact that the case in our Mishnah, speaks about an orphan. And Rabbi Elazar, he said, Ha'inis chayiv mafata pata, that if it was a case of Ha'inis, then he's chayiv. If it was a case of mafuta, then he's exempt. Now, obviously, that the knas that's coming to her goes to her. And the reason why it has to be that, in other words, when the case of Ha'inis, Rabbi Elazar says you're going to be chayiv, who's he chayiv to? It's going to be to the woman, not to her father, which is obviously like Rabbi Kiva's halacha that he holds by, Nisarsim Niskarsha goes to her and not to the father. And the reason is because it has to be talked about when he says Oynis is Chayiv in the Mishnah, that it means to her, not to the father. Because the second half of his halacha, where he says Mefat is Potter, obviously is only because it's going to her. And since she's willingly engaging, so therefore she's Meichelet. Now, it must be talking about that even though her father's alive. And the reason is because if it would be, you would think it's talking about that, oh, no, it's not like Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says it's halacha even when the father's alive. But Nisarsim Niskarsha goes to herself, as we explained from the Pesuk on the previous stuff. But Rabbi Elazar is talking about when she's an orphan, fine. So then, when there's an oinus, it goes to her. But when she's a mefuta, then he's exempt. On that, the Gemara says you can't say that. Because Yisayma, just that element of the case itself, is pshit. It's obviously that by mefuta he's going to be exempt because she's forgiving. And therefore, this is Rabbi Yochanan's conclusion to prove this point, that you wouldn't need the next variables of the case. Just say Yisayma, and Elazar says, Ein Eschayiv, Mefat is Potter. Why does it say, Shenis Arsim Niskarsha? Elohu Kamash Malan, rather, this is obviously what Rabbi Elazar is saying. The Naira Shenis Arsim Niskarsha, that a Naira that was engaged and then divorced, and then was violated or seduced, is Ki Yisayma. is like a yisayma. So again, as we explained in the Mishnah, that it's actually two different cases. In other words, when the sarsha and the skarsha is compared to the same case as the yisayma, which is my yisayma la'atma, just like when the woman is an orphan. So then it goes to herself, and yes, if she's befuddled, then obviously there's no knas because she's forgiving for what's happening. She actually wanted to engage in that. So afnayrish and the sarsha and the skarsha la'atma. So that's the same thing that Blaz is teaching in our Mishnah, that a naira that was engaged and then divorced will be as if the father's not here, which means to say that he doesn't get it, rather she gets it, and therefore since she's getting it, then, which is the halacha Rabbi Kiva said, so then as Rabbi Blaz is saying that if it's a case of mafata, then he's going to be exempt because since it goes to her and she's forgiving, therefore he's going to be exempt. Now the Gemara concludes, Amar Bzeiru, Amar Rabbi Bar Shil, Amar Rabbi Nunes, Saba, Amar Ad Bar Ava, Amar Rav, Halacha Krebelaz, Halacha Falzer Krebelazer, again going like the opinion of his Rebbe Rabbi Kiva, that it goes to her, and therefore if it's a case of mafata, he's going to be exempt. Again, in the case of a naira that's nisarsim niskarsha, not necessarily talking about that she was yisayma. It's like the case of yisayma, which is also no father, so therefore they had halacha, when she's engaged in divorce, is also as if there's no father. And the Gemara explains that because Kari Rav aled Rabbi Elazar, the reason why halacha falls Rabbi Elazar, is because Rav said regarding Rabbi Elazar that he's tuvina, he's the most praiseworthy, the hakimi of the sages. Now as Rashi points out, this Rabbi Elazar that we're talking about is Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. Well, he was one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva, as the Gemara says famously in Yevamos Av Samach Beis Mabeis, that all Rabbi Kiva's thousands of students had died, and there was no more students learning Torah until he went to the Talmidim in the south, and he taught them, which were Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Hud, Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, and he's the one that in this Mishnah is going like his teacher Rabbi Kiva. And that's what the Gemara said, the halacha falls, like Rabbi Elazar, that when she's in the sarsha and the skarsha, it goes to her and not to the father. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which we had mentioned in the previous Mishnah, that both Oynis and Mefata, besides the Knas, so Mefata gets three awards, rewarded for different violations that the Mefata did to her, and the Oynis, the Anusa, gets four things. So he said that besides the knas, which is both by Oynis Mefata get chamishim kesef for what he had done to her, there are other elements, baishes, pagam. So on that, our Mishnah now elaborates and elucidates what these elements are. So Mishnah says, ezehu baishes, what does it mean that he has to pay for her regarding the embarrassment that she incurred because of this, that he violated her or because he seduced her? So the Mishnah explains that the way we assess this is hakol lefi hamavayish, everything goes according to the one who's embarrassing, in other words, the man who is violating, which is, as Rashi explains, that actually an intermediate person who embarrasses someone is more severe of an embarrassment than a more degrading person, because a degrading person is like, okay, you know, if a dog barks at you, do you care? It's not someone that's respectful. And it's also more than the Adam Chashav, than the respectful person. Because a respectful person, okay, I could take it from such a person. But someone in the middle is the harshish. So it goes depending on who is embarrassing the person. And it goes according to Hamas Baish, according to the one that's being embarrassed. Because the more Chashav a person is, the more distinguished, their embarrassment is intensified. So depending on how Chashav the girl is, that's how will be the greater the amount of Baishas to be awarded. Pigam, regarding the depreciation of the woman now that she was violated or seduced, now that she's not anymore a besulam. So how do we assess that? So the Mishnah says, Royin oisa ki'ila hi shivcha nimkeres b'shuk. We look at her in terms of evaluation as if she would be a maidservant being sold in the marketplace. In other words, kama oisa yafa, how much would she have fetched in price for before she was violated when she was still a besula? Bekama yafa, how much is she evaluated at now? And that depreciation is the price that the Oynis Mefata have to give to the woman. The Gemara is going to ask and explain what type of depreciation is there in the woman as a maidservant from the fact that she was a basula to being a ba'ula. She could still do all the chore that she was able to do before she became, even after that she became a ba'ula. And kanas, shava b'chal adam, as we said that regarding the penalty, every woman is going to be the same. And as the Mishnah concludes, v'chol sheyesh lekitz from that Torah, anything that is a set amount in the Torah, shav v'chol adam, is equal by every single person. Doesn't depend on, as we're saying, fiyam avayish, or mezbayish, or depending how much depreciation is. Every person gets the same 50 kesef for being an anusa or being a mafuta. Now the Gemara asks on this halacha, which again is a continuation from that previous Mishnah, which we said that besides the knas, there's these other elements of boishis, begam, for einis, the case of tsar. But the Gemara says, "Ve'ema chamishim slaim amrachmanu mikol mili." The Torah awards the woman for being violated or being seduced a certain amount of money, which goes to the father. So let's say when the Torah says she gets 50 slam, it's including everything, not just for this penalty, but the penalty includes her depreciation, it includes her embarrassment. What makes us think that actually they'll be rewarded as separate penalties, as separate monetary payments? So Amar Zer, he says, you can't say that, because Yemru Bol Bas Malachim Chamishim, what people are going to say, that a man violated a princess, a woman, a dignity of royalty, then she gets 50 silver coins, and Bol Bas Adyotis Chamishim, and if he does the same thing to just a common woman, it's going to be the same amount of money. We would be the difference between the two of them, only regarding the embarrassment. That is the difference between royalty, that the same woman, the only difference is in their dignity. In their dignity is the embarrassment. Therefore, you see that obviously you have to give that differential, which would be embarrassing. So Amalei Abai says to Reb Zeri, he says, Ihachi Gabi Eben Nami, according to your logic, you should say the same thing regarding the same element that we find a penalty, which just like we're talking about Kanas of Vayinus Mefata, we find the same thing by a slave, where if a person's ox gores a slave, the Torah gives a set amount that you have to pay that owner 30 shkalim. So you should say the same logic. Yaimru, they're going to say, Evan, they give Margol Yishleishim, that if your ox gores a slave that is a high-priced slave, which means that he pierces the pearls, meaning a very delicate, high-paying profession, and still you have to pay only 30 shkolim for killing such an Evan, yet Evan Oysem, as we continue out to Midbeis, Maisa Machat, where all he does is sell clothing, Shleishim is also 30 shkolim, the same amount. What do you mean? Over there is no difference, but based on your logic, we should say just like Bas Malachim is different Bas Adyotis, there should also be a difference. And yet, there we don't make a difference. So Elam Rabzeri, rather Rabzeri says that from here, we could actually say a different svar in logic to say that obviously Boishas, the embarrassment that's inherent, cannot be included in the Chamishim. The reason is, he says a similar but different type of svar. He says, because if there wouldn't be a difference between having bia with a woman that's still shalim, to one that's already pogum, that's already has already been deficient, that already had bia once before, which is the only way that's possible to be chayiv for the oynis mafata is on the besula. So how's it possible that she already had bia once before? Would be bia shle kedarka, which doesn't break the besulim. So on that he says ilu bo leushnaim. If it would be that two people had bia with this besula, which is Echad Kedarka, Vechad Shalei Kedarka. One does it the normal way, one does it in the not normal way, which again, as Taisa points out on Amud Aleph, obviously has to be that Shalei Kedarka went first, which she's a Besula, which she's being Ma'anas and Mafata, it's just not taking away her Besulim, so the second one would still be violating or seducing a Besula. Now, if that would be the case, Yemru Bal Shalei Mechabishim, so you would say that the one who does beer with the Shleima, which was never defiled yet, that the penalty is 50 shkalim. And that if the one that already has, the one that seduces or violates this woman, that already was pogam already, although she still has besulim, but she already was defiled, or has already had something done to her, that it would also be the same amount, where would the difference be? Obviously, it would be in bishus, the amount of embarrassment, because a woman that was already violated, let's say once before, shaloi kedarka, so her embarrassment is not as great now when it happens again. So obviously there would be this difference, and therefore must be in the Baishas, and that's how we see that it wouldn't be included in the Chamishim. Which again, normally Abaya says to him, but Ihochi Gabi Evanam, but you could say that same nuanced difference in a slave. Because Yemu Evid Bari Shleishim, they're going to say when your ox kills a slave, even if it's a healthy slave, again, the same concept of Shalom and Pogum, when it's a healthy slave would be 30, Evid Mukha Shchin Shleishim, but if it would be a slave that's a flickered or boiled, also would be 30. But it is the same. And therefore, who said over here by Ines Mefata that besides the 50 kesef of a penalty, you have to give also Baishas and Megam? So Elam Abaya. So rather, Abaya gives a different interpretation. He says, because of my crow, we learn out from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Devarim, Tachas Asher Inan. This says, regarding where it talks about the penalty of the 50 kesef, it says, why do you give Chamishim kesef? Because he had afflicted her. Oh, Hani Tachas Asher Inan. The Chamishim Kesef is in place of the affliction. But the inference is that besides that, there's also the embarrassment and depreciation, which is not because of the affliction, because actually b'risheis v'gam are requirements of monetary law that are even by other types of damages that a person does to somebody else, which is not included in affliction per se. And pagam is, besides the embarrassment, is the amount that's evaluated by any type time there's a chavala. When you damage someone, there's a certain type of depreciation. So you have to give that, and therefore we see from the pasuk it's only tachas hasha'ina that's chamishim kesef. But for other types of chavalas, which is included over here by the one that's ma'anis ma'fata the besula, that you would also have to pay that besides the chamishim kesef. Another interpretation, Rav Amay says, oh my crap, the pasuk there says, that the man who laid with her will give to the father of the Naira 50 kesef, which we see the pleasure of laying with her, which is just a knas, because it's not something that you necessarily owe to that person. It's just that the Torah penalized you for deriving pleasure from doing something to this besula. That's 50 kesef. Again, the inference is, but for regarding other things that are chavala type of payments, which is b'risheis v'gam, that would not be included in the chamishim kesef, because the chamishim kesef is only in tachas hasha'ina, or only regarding the hanah shchiva. Now, the Gemara continues asking on this sugya, that v'eima l'dida. So we prove that besides the 50 kesef, there's b'risheis v'gam, as we learned in the Mishnah. But let's say that goes to har, not to the father. In other words, by the knas itself, we know that goes to the father because the pasuk says, v'nosan l'vihanara. But these, which we don't learn out from that, we're just inferring that there is the payment of b'risheis v'gam. Actually, v'nosan l'vihanara is specifically only going in the knas, as we learned that the tachas hasha'ina is for avihanara, and this is v'hanara shchiva. But let's say that actually b'risheis v'gam goes to her. And that the Gemara says, amakra, no, the pasuk says, b'midbar, b'nu'ureha beis avia, that in her youth, when she's in her father's house. Now, this is written in the parasha of Nedar, that the father has the authority over the daughter regarding the oaths that she makes. But one thing that we can infer from the pasuk is that when she's in her days of her youth, that pasuk says that she's beis lavi in her father's house, which we could learn, kol shvach nureh lavia, that any benefit that she gets that in her days of youth goes to her father. So therefore here, when she's getting money because she was violated, because she was seduced, of beis shezeh begam, that goes to the father too. But on that the Gemara asks, "Velahodam Rav Huna Marav." But this that we learn from Rav that he says, "Minayit shemaisa habas lavi." He asks, "Where do we know this halacha that when a daughter makes money, it goes to her father?" Shenemalek says the pasuk in Shemais, because the pasuk says, "V'chiyimker ish is biti lo'ama," that when a man will sell his daughter as a maidservant, which means that say a father is allowed to sell his daughter when she's a katan as a maidservant. So there's a correlation. We compare a daughter to a maidservant, and we learn. Ma ama maisa del rabba, just like a maidservant, all her income goes to her master. Afbas maisa del avia, so to a daughter, everything she makes goes to her father. Now that the Gemara asks, Lomali, why does Rav have to learn out the maisa yidayim of a daughter to the father from a comparison to ama from that pasig? What do you mean? The Gemara just brought a pasig that includes everything, every shvach nu'urim. Forget about income. Even when something happens to her, when she gets in the accident, there's the b'risheis v'gam, that you're learning out from the b'nei Rav beis avia, when she's in her ne'urim, everything goes to her father. So why do you need a special limud from comparison to an amma? Ella, rather, obviously what you have to say is, that because you cannot learn out from that pasuk, because ahiba faras nedarm hudachse, because that pasuk is talking about just a nullification of vows. But who said that you could learn that from there to all other areas of halacha? For example, shvach ne'urim of b'risheis v'gam, as we see clearly, Rav does not learn from there because he learns ma'aseh yedayim from a different halacha, from a different pasuk. Now, v'chitei menelef menen, if you would say that, what do you mean? Why don't we learn out from that pasuk? You cannot, because memayna mi'isur le'alfinan. You cannot learn out areas of monetary law from areas of prohibitory law, which that's what Nedarim is talking about. For Nedarim, she's based on via, but for regarding monetary law, who says that her shvach nurum goes to her father? Now, and if you would say that, okay, but let's learn out her b'risheis v'gam that it goes to her father from her knas that goes to her father, so to every shvach nurum of her money goes to her father, you can't, because you also do not learn regular monetary law from penalty laws, because penalties are a chiddush. That maybe goes to the father. But who said that her money goes to her father? So essentially, back to the question, from where do we know that the b'risheis v'gam goes to the father, just like we see that Rav needs to learn ma'aseh yedayim going to the father from a different source? So El Rav, the Gemara says, actually, it's mistaber. We learn it out from logic that the Baishas and Begam is the Viyahaba, that it goes to the father. And the reason is because up until now, before this man seduced or violated his daughter, it was within his authority to embarrass his daughter through the embarrassment of cohabitation. He was also able to depreciate her in the pagam of cohabitation. And the reason is, because if he wanted, masrullah, he could have given her over through kedushin, specifically a kedushin of bia, of cohabitation, which means to say that this act itself, he had the right, he could have given over lemanuva lemukashchin to some filthy and someone that's afflicted with boils. Whereas the Mishnah later on teaches us on Daf Memvav Mabez, it says that a father has the rights in his daughter for her kedushin in three different ways, as a woman is niknes b'kedushin, neither kesef shtar or bia. Now, since he could have taken money to create this pagam and busha through this act of bia, which was done to her by this other man, that obviously is creating a loss for the father, because essentially this money of the boishes pagam, which happened through bia, was the father's, because he was able to get money out of that Baishas HaBegam of Bia by marrying her off to such a type of a person. Therefore, that's incurring a loss of his, and therefore he gets the money. So therefore, it's a logic to say that it's the father's, again, not because of the Pesukim, because from the Pasuk over there, Ben Rebbe Saviyah is only talking about Isser, and neither can we learn from Knas. So the Gemara concludes, it's actually learned from Aswara, because it was the father's, which is being lost by this Oynis Mefat, and therefore the money goes to him. Now, the Mishnah said that pagam, how do we evaluate the depreciation of a besula tor be'ula? Is roim ois ha'kiil hi'shifcha nimkeres. We view her as if she was a maidservant being sold. Now, the Gemara asks, heichesh amin la, how do we evaluate that? So, amavu d'shmul, the father Shmuel said, well, imdin kama adam reitzalit, and we evaluate, we assess, how much would a person have wanted to give bin shifcha besula, regarding a maidservant that's still a besula, le shifcha be'ula, to a shifcha that already had bia, l'shamshay, to serve him. Now the Gemara wonders, shifcha ba'ula l'shamshay? What's the difference for a maidservant that's a ba'ula to serve him? My nafka lamina, what difference would it make a difference to any person who's buying a maidservant if she's a ba'ula or a besula, since the whole purpose of her to work? She doesn't get less of a potential worker because she once had bia. So Allah, Rav, the Gemara says, bein shifcha ba'ula shifcha she'ena ba'ula, the difference would be, if she's ba'ula or not, is lahasila avda, if he's purchasing this maidservant to marry her off to his slave, which the Gemara still asks. Ula avda mainafkile, regarding his slave, what's the difference for the master, mina, regarding this maidservant, if she's a ba'ula? Why would the master care that his whole purpose of getting a maidservant for his slave is so that he could have more slaves, because then they'll have children, which are his slaves? What does he care if she's a basula ba'ula? The Gemara answers, it's toma be'evet sheyeshli l'rabbe kuris ruchem, and we're talking about a slave, that the master gets a lot of pleasure out of this slave because he's very meticulous, he does all the work exactly as he wants to do. And now he wants to give some appreciation to this slave and give him the enjoyment of having a basula, and that would be the difference of what type of master is looking for a maidservant. That differential, when the master is looking for his slave for a maidservant, which he wants to give him a certain pleasure because he does good work, that amount of money that he'd be willing to pay more for a basula. And now that she's only ba'ula, how much price differential would that be? That's the amount of what we call pagam that's awarded to the woman that was anusa or mafuta. Now the Gemara continues with the next mission, again continuing on this halacha of knas, which we went, as we had mentioned in the first mission in this parak, regarding what is the age appropriateness for this knas. So the Mishnah says, kol mokum sheyesh mecher, any place where a woman could be sold by her father, meaning a father's allowed to sell his daughter, which means to say when she's a katana, then in knas, then the woman does not get awarded a knas if she was violated. And the reason is because there is no knas for a katana. It's only when she's a naira. Now, v'chomokim shishla knas, inversely, that whenever that there's a woman that would get a knas if she was violated, meaning when she's a naira, well, then ain mecher, then she cannot be sold by her father as a maidservant. Whereas the Gemara brings in Masechtas Erech and Nafchavtes and Mabez from a braisa, that you would think you could sell your daughter as a maidservant when she's a naira, and that the Gemara there says that you can't say that, because if she's already sold when she was a minor, she actually leaves the master when she becomes a naira, so now when she's not sold, for sure you can't sell her now when she's a naira. Now, as the Mishnah explains what these what this mnemonic, what these terms meant, and that is ketana, when she's a minor, yesh la mecher, then she could be sold by her father as a maid, but ve'en la knas. But she doesn't get a knas, so she's violated. Whereas Naira, when she's already between 12 and 12 and a half, yesh la knas, so then she gets a knas if she's violated, but ve'en la mecher, but her father cannot sell her as a maidservant. Now, Habergeris, the next stage, when she's already over 12 and a half, ain loy mechav loy knas, then she cannot be sold by her father, and neither when she's violated does she get a knas. Now, the Gemara explains that Amar Yehudim Rav, zu divrei meir. The opinion just mentioned on Mishnah is like her meir, who he says, which was mentioned in the Mishnah in the beginning of the parak, that a ketana doesn't get a knas. Avachachamayim, the Chum say, yesh la knas mewakam mechav, that you could have a knas for a woman that's violated, even at an age when she would be able to be sold by her father, meaning as a ketana. The Tanakh learned the Braisa. Ketana mibasriyim echad, a minor from one day old, bat shetovish de sarris, until she brings two sarris ba'isa malka, meaning when she becomes a naira, yesh la mecher, she could be sold as a maidservant by her father, but ve'en la knas, she doesn't have knas. And mishetovish de sarris, at shetibaga, when she already brings two sarris until she becomes a begaris, which is the age of nairis, well then yesh la knas, then she gets a knas, but ve'en la mecher divrei meir, which as was mentioned on Mishnah. Shayir Meir, because her Meir said, as he says in our Mishnah, Kamakam Shesh Mecher Ein Knas. Kamakam Shesh Knas Ein Mecher. However, Chachamayim, they argue. They say that Ketanu Mibas Gimel Shana Yemechad, a minor, at least from the age 3 and up, where that's already the age that her Bia is considered a cohabitation and her Besulim do not come back, the Acha debugger until she becomes a Begaris, so it's from age 3 until approximately 12 and a half, yesh la knas, she gets a knas, it's not just for naira. Now, that the Gemara asks, knas in mecher loy? What do you mean, that she only gets a knas but not mecher? Of course the father could sell her until she becomes a naira, because she's still a minor. So Ema rather say, what the Chacham were saying was, af knas b'malka mecher, you could even have a case of knas when it's an age that she could be sold. Which is, the reason is that from the age that she becomes fit for bia, from age 3 until she brings two sires, then you have both. You have knas, and the reason why you have knas is because that's as long as she's roi for the age of B, which is 3, not like Rameh who says from Naira. And you also have the mecher, because as long as until she's 12, the father could sell her. Now, for when she brings two sires until she becomes a begaris, then you have knas, because that, according to everybody, is by Naira, and then you wouldn't be able to be sold. Now, Amr Abchizde says, my time to Rameh, what's the reason of Rameh that he says that a ketana doesn't get a knas? Seemingly she's fit to have bia, and therefore she's violated, the violator should have to pay this penalty of her bisulim not coming back. So on that, Rav Chizda explains, because Amakra, the Pasuk says in Devarim, regarding by the Knas, it says, Veloi Seal Isha, that for him, this woman that he violated should be for him as a wife. Now on that, Rav Chizda explains, or Meir learns, B'mahava Atzma, it says, Seal Isha, she should be for him as a wife, which means to say that she makes herself for him a wife, meaning someone, meaning a woman that has it in her ability to acquire herself to him as a wife. That's what Akasim Adava, that's the Pasuk Toma. Now a minor, she could be married off by her father to a man, but she herself cannot marry herself off to a man. And therefore, the Pasuk must be talking about someone that could, which is a Gedayla. Therefore, it's only when she reaches age 12, which is a Naira, and not a Ketana. Now, but Rabbanon, regarding the Rabbanon, Amar Shlokesh, he says that Amakra, the Pasuk says, Naira, now, that's actually without a hey, the way it's written. And therefore, although Naira, yes, indicates generally a woman that's between age of 12 to 12 and a half, but since it's written without the hey, a filiketana b'mashma, that infers that it's even talking about a minor, which would be at least from when she's fit for B, which is from age 3. Now, Shamar Rav Papa b'reid Rav Chana mi'beit Kluchas. Now, Rav Papa, the son of Rav Chana from Beit Kluchas, heard this halacha, which means from Rish Lakish that was explaining in the Rabbanan the reason why we're saying that it's even when she's a ketana, because it says Naira without a hey. Now, Asul Amr Kamed Rav Shimon Barashi, he went and said this over from Rav Shimon Barashi. So, Amalei, so he said to Rav Papa, Atun Ahomas Nitala, you learned this halacha of Rish Lakish, that whenever it's written Naira without a hey, although we read it as Naira, that it comes to teach us that that halacha applies even to a ketana, regarding this halacha of Oynes and Mefata, that it applies even if she's not a Naira. But Anan, Ahomas Nitla, but we learned this halacha of Rish Lakish actually in a different area of halacha. That Amr Rish Lakish said, Hamaitzi Shemra, was in regards to the parsha of Hamaitzi Shemra, which Hamaitzi Shemra is someone that says, Loimetzas Lebitcha Besulim, he marries a woman, And the next morning after he consummates the relationship, he says to the father, what do you mean? I married her on the assumption that she's a basula, and I didn't find any basulim. So he's sending out a bad name regarding this woman that obviously he's saying that she was mezana with some other man, which has certain ramifications if that's actually true. Now, that Rish Lakish said that if someone is Moitzi Shema al Hakatana on a minor, meaning he married a woman that's 7 years old, and then he says she didn't have any basulim, so then he's putter from what the Pasuk says, V'yansho Isa Mei Kesef, that the Pasuk penalizes him 100 silver coins for being Moitzi Shema, spreading a false rumor about her that she didn't have basulim, and turns out really he was lying. So if she was a katana, he's exempt from that penalty. Shnema, because it says in the Pasuk, V'nosnu la'vi ha'naira, that he will give it to the father of the naira. Now, there, naira moli dibra ha'kasav. The Pasuk says naira with a full spelling, meaning with the hay. Oh, with the hay, obviously he's only talking about that she's a true naira, meaning between the age of 12 and a half, meaning older than 12. Because we can infer from Rish Lakish, if it said it without a hay, then it would be even by katana. And that's why, since there it says it with a hay, must be Moitzi Shema is not on the katana. So that's what he said. We see from that other halacha, Rish Lakish, he said it regards to the context of Moitzi Shema. Now, on that interpretation, Maskev L'Rav Adbar Abba, he says, wait a second. Time in the Kazra, Achman the Nair, you're telling me, the way your version of Rish Lakish is saying it, that the reason why the Torah is only going to be Chayiv Moitzi Shema, 100 kesef, is only by a naira, not by a katana, because it says naira with a hay. But you seem to be saying halavachi, but if it didn't say naira with a hay, havamina filigatana, I would have thought to say that the halacha Moitzi Shema applies even to a minor. But how can you say that? Well, except the pasuk there says that v'im emes hoya hadavar zeh, let's say he wasn't lying. We don't penalize him. It actually was true. And loy nimtzu besulim lanaira, that this naira actually did not have besulim. Oh, so she was mezana. So they take the naira out to the entryway of her father's household and they stone her because it's true that she was mezana, which is chayiv skila. Now that's a good one. Ask, but katana lav bas oinshin hi. How could you have entertained that if it didn't say naira with a hey, that, and it would have been with a katana, but it can't be because the parasha says regarding this woman that if it was true that they would stone her. But a minor under the age of 12 is not chayiv for misa. So how can you say that without a hey it would have been that even by a katana? So El Rav, the Gemara explains as follows. That this that it says naira, mali, meaning with a hay over there, it's not coming to reveal regarding the Moitzi Shema itself that, oh, must be it's talking about a naira, not a katana. Rather, it's coming to reveal regarding wherever it says naira, chaser, without a hay. And the way it's learned is as follows. Khan over here, which yes, like you're pointing out, it's impossible to be a katana. It has to be a naira, as you said, because there's a punishment of death, which is only by a naira, not by a katana. So that's why it says naira. That's why it says it with a hay. But that's coming to teach you. Yes, not for here. For here we know it has to be naira, but we're saying it with a hay to teach you. Hakamakim shenema naira. Wherever it says naira without a hay, is a filigatana b'mashma. That's what's coming to say, that discrepancy, meaning here it's with a hay. And yes, we know it must be naira. So from that we can infer that, however, wherever it says naira without a hay, would be telling us that it's even going to be a katana b'mashma, not just by a naira. And again, those are the two different versions of Rish Lakish, but the one that's primary for our sugi is that for the Rabbanan, that the reason why they say the halacha of Ines Mefata would be even by katana is because it says naira without a hay, which it tells a filigatana b'mashma.